Psalm 63, and we will be there. You can notice we have verses 3 and 4 up on the board there. But in Psalm 63, we'll go ahead and read the all 11 verses of the psalm. Psalm 63, starting in verse 1. Excuse me. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Again, our Father, we do thank you for the Word of God that we've read. Lord, I just pray you'd allow it to go out and do what it needs to do in our hearts. Help us to just pay attention and understand the truth of your Word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this passage of Scripture, it's an amazing thing when you look at it. But it starts out, he says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Excuse me. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. You know, this speaks of somebody who wants God. They don't want just God to be there for them when they need him. They want him. David, he says, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. These are people that, this is somebody that's saying, and David's saying through the Spirit, he wants to know God. He wants to have a real relationship. God is a necessity for him. And he says, My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And, you know, we could just ask the folks over in South Texas about what it's like to live in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I mean, they've had like several weeks of 100 degree temperatures and no rain for several months now, for at least 3 months, no significant rain for a good time, and they're having just a bang up drought. And you know, something we've seen before in times past, when I was growing up, we saw times when living in South Texas where the ground was cracked, you know, and you had cracks in the ground. You could see cracks about that big in the ground, about an inch wide. Well, they're getting that now. I've seen that in my lifetime, and they're seeing it again now. A lot of people are like, wow, we've never seen it like this. We've had droughts, but we've never seen anything like this. And they got people that are having to sell off their cattle because they don't have any grass for them. So they understand what it is to be to be in a dry and thirsty land. And, you know, sometimes it may be that we need to take an honest look at ourselves and see the cracks that have developed in our life to see how much we need the Lord. I think a lot of times we like to pretend that everything's hunky-dory, but we need to get to a point where we truly want a relationship with God that's every day. And then he says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. The sanctuary being the temple, if you will. The temple of the Lord. And with all the focus and emphasis of the keeping of the law and the ceremonial law and all the things that were done and all the praising of God. And if you remember, they had singers in there singing, and they had people doing all types of praise and worship in the temple. David had the sons of Asaph that would go into the temple and sing. And obviously when there's good singing, it inspires people, doesn't it? It inspires people, and we love to have that type of service, don't we? We love to have that type of we want to go to church and we want to be inspired and we want all that. We like church services like that. And a lot of times we come to church and maybe the music's inspiring, there's a good special, or we have a singing group in, or somebody comes in, or we go to a church and they've got a lot of music stuff, and it's always good to have that. And so we go through all that, or there's a good message and the message hits home and we get inspired. And we come to church, and sometimes church, I don't know about you, but sometimes, a lot of times, church is, for me, a sanctuary from the world. But he said, I want to see thy power and glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. In other words, he said, I want to take that, those emotions, those feelings, and my vision and my focus outside of this place. I want to see that. He says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thy loving kindness is better than life. I wonder how many of us actually believe that. That God's loving kindness is better than this very life. But he said, because thy loving kindness is better than life, what? He says, my lips shall praise thee. And then he said, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. With joyful lips. I had a very interesting day yesterday. Yesterday I got introduced to a friend of my son-in-law, and he's a nice fella and everything. He's a family friend, had been a friend of theirs since my son-in-law was 5 years old, he said, he told me. And I got to meet the man, and we sat there and we talked about different things and everything, and then, you know, He did something. He said, I was studying my Bible this morning, and he pulled out the Bible on his phone. He said, I want to know what you guys think about this. And so he just came up and he shared what he was doing, and we just sat there and talked about the Word of God for 30, 40 minutes. And that was a blessing. And we just sat there and talked about it. We talked about the goodness of God. We talked about the things in the verse and what does this verse mean. And we sat there and we talked about it. It was just a blessing. You know, in the midst of all of that, this boom, here comes the Word of God. And there it is. And we're talking about the Lord and praising the Lord and giving glory to God. And talking about what we've learned and what we've been taught and sharing things with one another. That was a great blessing to me. Of course, I was out of town yesterday, so as I was driving back, stopped in at a place, a little gas station, grocery store, or deli type place that they have in a place called Bucketunna, Mississippi. And I sat there, and we'd been there through there before, and stopped there before. But the last time I was there, I saw a elderly black gentleman, and he was sitting there. And the only reason I mentioned the man's skin color is because I want to make a point. Because it doesn't matter who. And that shouldn't be a barrier to us. But I had seen him there before. And I last time I saw him, I said hello and I talked to him. I just, said hi to him, and he was cordial and greeted me and everything like that. Well, I come back in there, and yesterday, and I saw him. He was sitting there, and I said, "How you doing, boss?" I said, "You back here again, huh?" And just trying to be cordial with him. He said, "Oh yeah," and then he just started talking about how the Lord had blessed him. And we sat up there, and we talked for. We were waiting on some food because they had that little deli there, and we were waiting on them to cook a hamburger and some chicken strips and. So we sat there and talked with him for a while, and we talked about the Lord, and he talked about, I took a little time and talked to him about his faith, and we talked and everything. I never even told him I was a preacher. We just talked about the Lord, and we had a good time, and we praised the Lord, and he was telling me things that God had done for him, and I was telling him things that God had done for me, and he asked me my name. I got his name and everything like that. And we exchanged information, introduced ourselves properly and all that. But we just, pretty much strangers. We just seen each other in passing once. And I saw him again, so I engaged him. And boy, he just started talking about the Lord. So I had two good instances where I met people yesterday that for no prompting on my side, no effort of trying to push. Some of the time when it comes to bringing up the Lord, I have to be the one to initiate the discussion. And even among people that profess to be Christians sometimes, you got to kind of prod people that direction. But I had two people that just came up and just started talking about it. And then... they had had a mishap in the kitchen, so we had to wait a long time for our food. And he said he was going on. And so I walked out to my phone so I could call Sister Denise and let her know what our progress was coming back. And I heard somebody honking at me. And I looked up, and here he come. He was driving over toward me and everything like that. And he said... I said, "How you doing, Mr. Davis?" And I said, "What can I do for you?" And he said, "Look here." He had a little card there. He said, "Did I get your name right?" And he got my son-in-law's name. And he said, I said, "Yes, sir, that's correct." And he said, "Did I get his name right?" I said, "Yes, sir, that's correct." He said, "I'm going to call these names before the Lord today." Amen. I said, "Amen, brother. I'm going to call your name." And I did. I prayed for him last night. And I'm sure he prayed for me. Somebody go that much trouble, I think they're going to pray. And so I'm just tickled to death. I got somebody that's just out in the world. But that's the way it is. And that's the way it should be. And that's what we ought to desire. That's what we ought to want, is to see God's glory in somebody's life, not just here in the church house, but out yonder. That's the way it ought to be. That's what we ought to desire. The Bible does say, I believe it's Psalm 37:4. I have to go back and make sure I got my verse right. But it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee" what? "The desires of thine heart." And it's kind of an amazing thing. Now I'm going to go back and look, make sure I quoted that right, but I believe I've got the right verse on that. 37:4. Yep, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. All right? So, but notice what he wanted to do. We want to see the glory of God outside of the sanctuary. We want to see it in the lives of other people. And yesterday, that was just a refreshing blessing to me. It was a great blessing to me to meet two men who were unashamed of the Lord. You know, I talked to the fellow yesterday, and I said, you know, I'm so happy I got to meet you today. It's a blessing to meet somebody who's not afraid to just out in public start talking about the Lord. We were talking about the Lord, talking about salvation, and talking about, man, people just don't understand what they're missing and everything like that. And it was just a wonderful time, you know. He kind of tickled me. He said, if you keep talking like that, he said, I'm going to be running around this store here and everything like that. And I said, well, you just help yourself, you know. And he's 83 years old. And, you know, we kind of know. I said, well, you just help yourself. He said, but they won't know why. I said, well, we'll just have to tell them, won't we? And you know, so we laughed and we talked. And it was just a blessing to meet somebody, you know. And I tell you what, there's a story there. I think next time I go through Bucketunna, and I probably will for times out, I think what I'll probably do is just sit down and say, hey, let's sit down and have a meal together. And we'll just sit there and eat a good meal together, and I'll buy him lunch or something like that. Just a blessing. But just to meet people out there and see them. But that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be that person. We ought to be that one that wants to see it. Other people are looking for the Lord too. And other people, I was encouraged, I was blessed. And we ought to be as well. But why don't we do that? Why don't we do that? Well, because too often our focus is somewhere else. Notice what he says in verse 6. He said, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Why don't we? Well, David is saying, you know, when he gets all alone and when he's there on the night watches, he spends time meditating and thinking about the Lord. Do you? Say, boy, I want to be like David. Well, there's a good start, don't you think? Boy, I wish I could know, be a man after God's own heart, just like David was. There's your starting place. There you go right there. I mean, that's what we ought to do. Take the time and meditate on the Lord. And he says, because you've been my help. How does he know? You know, God helps people left and right all the time and never gets the acknowledgement for it. And we acknowledge that. You know, there's that old thing about footprints. You know, a person had a dream and they saw two sets of footprints in the sand, and one was the Lord and one was there, but they noticed something, and they said every time when life got hard and as they were walking through, there was only one set of footprints in the sand, and it was just and so he was upset, and he's like, Lord, I don't know why you left me when things got tough, and why you left me alone on my own. And he said, And according to the thing, the Lord said, no. He said, you got it all wrong. He said, I love you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Those times that you see there in the one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Amen. And so that's a very beautiful sentimental thing, but we don't think in those terms. But why don't we think on those terms all the time? David is saying, hey, because thou hast been my help. He meditated and he said, you know, God is taking good care of me. There's a song called My Lord is Taking Good Care of Me. And it just kind of goes through all the things about how God's been a blessing and all the things he's given us. You know, talking about his word, talking about brothers and sisters in the Lord, talking about the food and the clothing and all the things that God does. And it says, you know, my Lord is taking good care of me. And the truth of the matter is that God does take good care of us, but we don't take the time to meditate and think about it and look at it and rejoice in it. Too often we're looking for something else, or we're worried about what's yet to be, and we're worried about tomorrow. And it stops us from taking the time and giving God the thanks for what he has already done for us. And we spend our time worrying instead of praising God. But if you take time and meditate on him and think about it and think about and take back, you know, and you know, if you were to look back at somebody, you know, most people have had or may still have, and it may change over time, a best earthly friend, if you will, right? You might remember somebody that one time was your best friend. I've had several best friends. And when you think about those people, they were your best friend because you look back and you saw the benefit of your life to your life by having them a part of it. You know, boy, that's my best friend. He's always there for me. He's always, you know, he or she shows they care. And you recognize that because why? You think about what they have done for you. You think about how they've helped you. Why would we not think about how the Lord would help us? Why would we not meditate on it? We ought to be the ones that praise the Lord. We ought to be the ones that praise the Lord. It's an amazing thing when we look at what it says. He says, it, when we see that his loving kindness is better than life. And then we also ought to look forward to what's going to have. I mean, so many times we get caught up in the troubles of this world. Like I just said, we spend time worrying instead of meditating on the Lord. We spend time worrying about tomorrow. But you know, even the tomorrows God has in hand, doesn't he? Even the todays, even the ones that, you know, we live in a world where people have done us wrong, haven't we? But look what he says. He says, my soul, verse 8, he says, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. Those that are opposed me, those that are against me, those that hate me, they're going to be dealt with. God's got that under control too. They will not prevail. They will not win. Isn't it good to know that every wrong will be righted? Do you believe that or not? Do you believe that? Do you believe it enough to say, you know what? What's going to happen? I understand I've suffered. And people have done me wrong. But you know what? God's going to fix that. It's either going to be placed under the blood of Jesus or they will bear the consequences for that, for those works. But God's going to deal with it. One way or another, God's going to redeem them. And that ought to be our preference, by the way. Our preference ought to be that people get saved and lives changed. But failing that, if they reject the goodness and mercy of God, if they reject the love of God, the consequences of their sin will catch up to them. They will not escape. And yes, you will be recompensed far more than you would if they did everything they were supposed to do and they had repented and they made you whole from whatever point of they did, could do, whatever point they could do, whatever God has got in place for you is so much better. And not only that, it lasts forever. It's not going to be something that's going to be temporary or temporal. So the future and all the things that happen, the devil and anybody that follows wickedness, and if you've suffered because of other people's wickedness, you know, and sometimes I think we ought to make sure, we ought to understand that other people have suffered because of our wickedness. That helps too if we remember that. But if we meditate on the Lord, if we look forward, if we look at what He's done for us already, if we look at what He's done for us in the present, what we have, what God's provided, and we're thankful for that, and we look forward to the day of His coming and the day of the end of all things when God makes an end of sin once and for all, that ought to be something that causes us to praise Him. He says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. While I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. You know, I'm going to be here. In my time here, I'm going to praise the Lord. Because His loving kindness is better than this life that we live now. And we ought to be the ones that praise Him. We ought to be the ones that show the world His power outside this sanctuary. So I just want to challenge you with that. That was a blessed day for me yesterday to be able to hear those folks praise the Lord and open a Bible. And what a blessing. That'd be wonderful every day. That'd just be wonderful every day. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we'll close the Sunday School Hour. Father, we thank You for this time, and we just pray, Lord, that You would bless each one with understanding. Help us, Lord, to run into people that love the Lord. But also, Father, help us to be the ones that are refreshing to other people, that the ones that are unashamed to openly praise the Lord and tell the people what great things God has done for us. Thank You, Father, and we just pray that You would bless us with many such more encounters and help us to bless others in the same way. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.